The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
Dudes Club, a brotherhood for men's wellness. Based in Vancouver's downtown east side, located at 606 Powell Street. The Dudes Club was established in 2010, and since then, clubs have been set up in communities across British Columbia with a mission to facilitate a participant-led community for men's wellness with activity-based clubs that prioritize supportive relationships, engagement in healthcare, and local Indigenous worldviews. The Dudes Club vision is of a renowned role for men supporting each other and their families in building wellness and strong communities. Over the past week, I've been invited to participate in several community gatherings that Dude Club organized, allowing me insight into the club and the valuable support they provide to the community. I spoke with Sandy Lambert, elder and external liaison with Dudes Club, and Robert Chippaway, who is a Dudes Club champion and leader of events and gatherings. Together, we spoke in length about the origins of Dudes Club, the work they do to empower men, and the personal benefits they receive by being involved with this organization. From there, we transition to issues impacting men in the downtown east side and thoughts about Truth and Reconciliation Day. Niawa, all my relations.
So welcome everybody to our Vancouver Think Tank for Tuesday, September 28th. One of our people is just walking around the room and smudging it if you like to smudge. So welcome everybody again to our Vancouver Games Club Think Tank. And we wanted to acknowledge the territory of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Coast Salish people's territory where we're at. We're very proud and honored to be working and playing on their territories. So guys, okay, let's get down to business. So, I'm going to do my attendance, and as we do, I need to walk around the room. I see 10 people here today. So I need to walk around the room and say how each one guy is doing okay. Say hello or pass, right? So my name is Robert. I'm in Anishinaabe, and I'm very honored to be in this territory. I'm feeling really good today. The Creator granted us a beautiful sunny day today. My Uki's been very busy and very good. And how's our friend Sandy doing?
Well, Sandy's here.
Yeah, that's good. There you go. That's how we roll, right? So we have our friend Co-op Radio here.
My name's Sandy Lambert. My traditional name is Snuxis, which was given to me by a Musqueam elder. By Henry Charles. We are now at 606 Powell at Kila Lelum. Dudes Club is the Brotherhood for Men's Wellness, and how it got started was about 11 years ago, back at Vancouver Native Health. There were a bunch of men in the community sitting around saying, you know, there's lots of programs for women, but there's nothing for us as men. Richard Johnson and Dr. Paul Gross decided, well, why don't we put a men's group together, right? We'll have some food. We'll have basically some games of bingo. And then we'll talk about men's health. Because most Indigenous men don't talk about their health until it's too late. Most men, period, don't talk about their health. So that's about 50 men used to come to the gatherings and just, you know, chit-chat, network, talk with each other. You know, we would have an elder open up, be Henry or myself. Then we do four games of bingo. There'd be people in the kitchen cooking, preparing a meal. Then we serve the meal, and then the doctor would come in and ask, what do you guys want to talk about in men's health? So that started 11 years ago. It continues. We now have about 50 different sites in the north, and we keep growing. There's more demand out there for organizations, communities wanting a men's group.
And what does like a Brotherhood for Men's Wellness, what need in the community is that meeting?
For men to get together, right? And so to show solidarity and camaraderie and just be together, right? Because they need a safe place where they can meet and talk about their different issues. I was working with one of the outreach nurses, and she was sitting on a committee that I chaired, and she says, oh, you should go check out Dudes. I went, oh, okay. You know, it's at Native Health on Thursdays, and so that's where I did, you know. And in 4 or 5 months, we got a small grant to go up north and start the project.
And what kind of supports and benefits do you personally get out of being a part of a club like this?
Just knowing that we're making a change, we know that we're helping men. Men are understanding their health a lot better. So they're not always basically relying on their wives, their girlfriends, their aunts, their mothers to take them to the hospital. They're standing up and saying, okay, something's wrong with me. I need to go to the hospital.
And how does a man or a dude or a brother, how do they get involved with the Dudes Club?
Usually word of mouth. We tried doing brochures and media releases. It doesn't seem to work very well. So yeah, word of mouth in the downtown east side is the best way. Right, there's no membership or anything required. Basically just come together and be with a bunch of men and get a meal, find out what's happening in the downtown east side. They may have questions of where they need to go, what clinics they need to go to. You know, sometimes we have men that need to go for example, a prostate exam, and they're very scared, right? Stepping into St. Paul's, and we'll usually have one of their brothers go with them. So it's a support mechanism.
And Sandy, talk about the St. Paul's hospital project that the Dudes Club is associated with.
So they approached us as an organization, and there's a new hospital that's going to be built within 6 years. It's already started. But we said there's about three colleagues, peers that are working on this project. And we said, you need to start now, because we know that when our people go into the emergency room or end up in the hospital, that there's a lot of discrimination and racism. Usually the first thing that when they're in an emergency room is like, what have you been drinking? What drugs have you been using? Right? So they're painting everybody with the same brush. So what's happened now is that they've hired some peer navigators to change their ways of how they're dealing with people. They've hired management, some more frontline people. So it's pretty big. It's making a change. So this is a pilot project. So we're the first hospital in BC to really start this. And it's part of reconciliation, right? Stop judging everybody.
And discriminating people who need medical help.
That's right, yeah, because you may be really in there for a reason. So that's a really good part of reconciliation that they're doing. And they need to do it for a long time. So we've asked them to start now. Don't wait 6 years or 7 years while the new hospital is being built.
Just kind of switching gears here, just because it's timely for the week that we're in. National Truth and Reconciliation Day is coming up on September 30th, this Thursday. What does that day mean to you personally? It's the first time our country's had this national holiday.
I don't want to get too political here, but I know that when the TRC came out, there was like 120 recommendations. And I believe only 9 or 10 of them have been looked at and been, you know, done. So it's a day just to show action and for all of our Indigenous brothers and sisters to come together and to show solidarity. We also basically respect all the children that they have found. So we have to acknowledge that as well. And just to show that we're very caring people as Indigenous people, right? We're not just, you know, as communities or majority of the public think that, you know, oh, well, there's a drunken Indian, right? We have more to give. We're educated. We have the ability to come together, you know, like food is our best way of bringing everyone together. And I hope that something of the TRC, more actions that were recommended by the committee that did the TRC, that more actions come out.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the actions, and I'm curious in your opinion, what do you think some actions can be made or steps that can be made between settler colonizers and First Nations people towards achieving actual like truth and reconciliation in our country?
Just understanding where we come from. Why we have this historical trauma in our lives, right? Most of it's historical trauma. And to decolonize of what we do and how we do it. A lot of people, you know, they read what's in the media, and that's not all true. So it's not for us, as I was told by my elders as well, is not for us to basically explain to you, you know, what is truth and reconciliation. It's basically, there's so much on the internet right now. It's basically, if you want to know, you can come and ask us and we'll help you and show you the ways.
Well, the reconciliation part definitely has to come from the settler colonizers, right? Like, we're the ones that are trying to reconcile with indigenous communities.
That's correct. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I appreciate, like, as a settler colonizer myself, asking these questions and being able to get responses, because, you know, I know for myself, we are trying to learn and we are trying to make those steps and actions outside of just apologies.
Yeah, exactly. Apologies don't mean anything, right? It's showing your action and proving that we know that, you know, people of this day and age are not the colonizers, really. It's historical. So we're not putting blame onto, you know, our people that, you know, are here right now. That's historically. So, but people of the white people are basically taking the brunt of it right now, which is unfortunate. Not everybody's, you know, can't paint everybody by one stone, right? One color.
And just kind of wrapping up here, Sandy, what's something about the downtown east side that the general public doesn't know much about? Maybe something that's missed if you're just passing through this community.
I've had some friends come back from back east, and what they've seen on the media was totally different. I took them to the downtown east side and they just cried, right? A lot of homelessness, a lot of people living under covers of storefronts. Yes, there's a lot of drug use. There's a lot of, maybe substance use, and that's not the proper terminology that people don't like us to use as well. But it's a porous postal code in Canada within a 4 or 5 block radius, which is really sad. And, you know, I want to get political again. I don't think our government's doing enough. You know, it's there's SROs. I've been into SROs, and they're disgusting. You know, they're basically a place where, you know, this person gets paid to run a building that's, you know, it's hard to describe. It's like walking into like a horror movie and seeing how some of these people live. I think, you know, with all the new buildings, the money that's out there that our government can put up more housing. Not everybody wants to be in a housing. People love living on the street. Some people like living on the street, I should say. Not love, but like. And how that became is that basically people come from the north and different areas of BC and actually Canada. And usually they'll go, for example, they'll start in Prince George. They get kicked out of Prince George because no one likes them or whatever. They move to Kamloops. And then from Kamloops, they end up in Vancouver. So in downtown Eastside, it feels like community, right? Everybody's brown. You know, of course, there's stuff that happens on the streets. You know, not everybody gets along. Doesn't matter your color, your skin, or whatever. So, I mean, we just spent $610 million on an election that Trudeau said would never happen during a pandemic, and it happened. And what were the results? Nothing. Not much difference, right? And that upsets me, where we put that money to better places, right? And it's always that we're always looking for funding to help our people. You know, it's like, you know, our government has, the bureaucrats have come into the downtown east side. They've seen what it looks like. Why are we struggling to go for that funding to keep organizations running? So I don't know what the answer to that is, but you know, I think we need some of our allies in government to step up to the plate and fight for us. You know, if they really believe in reconciliation, this is the time to do it, right? That's a way, good way of putting action. So money talks, right? And put your money
where your mouth is.
Exactly. So. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, hey guys, welcome back again. So this past week, the Dudes Club has been in the community,
which is a good thing. We had our annual health fair on Thursday, which was a really big success in Oppenheimer Park. So we do that once a year, and I just want to be really thankful that all the dudes were up there, you know, representing and being in the community, right? It's really good work that we've done.
Hi, my name is Robert Chippaway. I'm a dudes champion of the Vancouver Dudes Club, which we operate on Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Coast territories. We've been operating since 2010. It's a men's wellness group that I've been involved with since 2010. And I'm an Anishinaabe, originally from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Vancouver is my home. I've been living in the Lower Mainland for, you know, since the early 70s, and I've been around the downtown east side for 20 years. Yeah, I used to be, I lived in a whole bunch of SROs. I'm a recovering addict. I'm 7 years and 4 months clean and sober. That's a super, super cool. I love being clean and sober. It's cool. And what we do for our men's wellness groups is that I've, you know, learned my new way to living, right? That I demonstrate with the other men in the community that, you know, being clean and sober is possible.
And how did you get involved with the Dudes Club exactly?
Yeah, I heard from the street there's a men's group, and I just happened to walking by. It was a good meal, and I came by for a meal one night, and there was like a lot of people in here, and I had anxiety, and being in large group of men at the time, I was in my full addiction days and stuff like that. But I came in, and then I played bingo, and I won bingo. After that, I was hooked. I kept on coming back. They said you come back every second Thursday, so I kept on coming by because they had really good food to eat, and it was a good group of people, of men being in a room. And I learned to how to be in a good way in you know, the presence of a large group of men without a big brawl happening, and it was very, very comfortable. You know, not judgmental and a really safe place to be. So I kept on coming back. Probably about 4 years ago, I actually came more involved with the club, being a champion role model. So I just helped the Vancouver Dudes Club. I helped organize a big dinner on Thursday nights, Thursday 4 to 6 at 606 Powell Street on a downtown east side. Yeah, and I organized the men... on Tuesdays. So what we do Tuesdays, we have a think tank and a brainstorming meeting on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. at 606 Powell Street.
And that's what I was actually a part of today.
Yeah. And we do that every Tuesday at 2 p.m. And then on Thursday, we have our big gathering, we like to call it. And every Thursday from 4 to 6. And because we're just slowly coming up, we're still in COVID times. We used to gather indoors, like 60 men, but we in the past, since COVID started, we chose not to do that. And we have to use health guidelines. So we decided to serve food to the community, hand out meals. So we've been doing that since the beginning of the pandemic. So we still operated as Dudes Club, but we serve food to the community.
Which I was lucky enough to join in on last Thursday. I came and I met you and some of the other dudes, and I jumped right in there. I was handing out beef stew and bannock.
Yeah, that's how we operate. You know, it's just a good group of men, that men being men, and that we learned. We have some code of conduct stuff that we just men supporting each other, right? So we engage in the conversation with men is a really big thing, and you know, we break down barriers because we had the men are the toxic, and we have, you know, the masculinity. We try to have open doors, and we teach the men how to have positive relationships with themselves and with others, and plus in the community. So over the years that I've been here, that it actually works, right? You know, our program does work in a good way, right? We're indigenous based, and when we serve the community with food, we don't consider it food. We consider it medicine. So it's medicine to the community. So yeah.
How does somebody get involved with the Dudes Club? Or maybe also in that question, why would somebody get involved with the Dudes Club?
Well, you just come down at 606 Powell Street on 2 p.m. on a Tuesdays, where I have a think tank brainstorming meeting where I hire whoever shows up. I need six volunteers, paid volunteers. So I need six people to make our weekly dinner, like cooks and assistant cooks and dishwasher and a couple of helper cleaners and those kind of things. So, and those are prized positions in the community. The men really would like, you know, be a part of that. And, you know, we have a core members, but we're, everybody's welcome though, right? And the thing is, there's magic in here when the men have a sense of purpose and getting a couple of bucks, you know, for their work, honor their work, right? And it's a really good program that it works, we're in addictions and everybody's accepted and I don't like the marginalized communities, you know, but it is, you know, it's actually a really cool community to be in downtown Eastside, and I feel safe down here. Yeah, so to be involved, everybody's welcome. You just have to come down on Tuesdays and find out what's going on with us, because we do have a lot going on throughout the year. We have events that we go to. We go to hockey games, you know, and football games. We just went to a football game and those kind of things, right? And then we also have a lot of workshops throughout the year inside our Dudes Club at 606 Powell Street. Yeah, so come on down. We do things, indigenous-based workshops, drum making, and those kind of things, right? So, you know, we're fortunate we're able to operate still under COVID situations, right? Because,
Upcoming, just switching gears here a little bit, upcoming this week on September 30th, we have the first National Holiday for Truth and Reconciliation in Canada. I'm just saying, thinking, what does that day personally mean to you?
Oh, well, it just means truth and reconciliation. If you can understand the truth, then you can start working on the reconciliation part. Because myself, I'm an indigenous man, and my family all went to residential school, but it was just never really talked about. And my dad managed to make a life for himself. Me, I got picked up in a 60 scoop situation too. Grew up there and. I'm on a healing journey because of interracial, generational trauma. And so it's just, you know, I lashed out in anger and alcoholism and drug addiction and those kind of things. But I'm on a healing journey of, you know, and really grateful for that. Yeah. You know, just recognition, you know, honor our peoples, right? Honor everybody.
Yeah, and what do you think, in your opinion, are some steps or some actions that can be made by settler colonizers like myself and with First Nations people to make steps towards reconciliation and also just honoring residential school survivors? Do you have anything, any suggestions or any advice?
No, I believe all the work that's being done as is a part of the step of reconciliation. There's a lot of good work going on. It'll take time, but we're going to hear. I'm here for a while, so why not fix it, right? So I'm here now, but there is a lot of work going on to fix it, and not fix it, just honor it, and.
Okay, so tell me about what do you see as some of the issues that are happening, especially for men in the community right now, and how is Dudes Club trying to address that?
We address the men in very respectfully that we're aware of all issues of mental health awareness. Men are lonely and isolated. So those kind of things that is very hard for men to bring to go, hey, to do that, because you're supposed to be this. But, well, you know, we're all together in this, right? So that's one thing, engagement and conversation with the men in a good way. So came across. And so when I say all my relations, I mean that everybody, we're all related in this, and in the whole world, we're all related peoples, right? So that's why I say all my relations. It's not just indigenous, it means everybody.
Mm-hmm. And for those that might be a new phrase listening, all my relations is a phrase commonly used amongst First Nations people.
Yes. Yeah, just as a closing, like, and if things get loud and out of control, you can say all my relations, and just, it's
centers and balances.
Yeah. Yeah, because the world's out of balance, and we need to balance ourselves. But it's a very tough thing to do, because there's 24 hours in a day, and you got 8 hours for work, 8 hours for sleep, and you have 8 hours to do something else. There's, you know, those kind of things, and so yeah. So. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure being a part of the Dudes Club today and to get an insight on all the amazing work you guys are doing. It's really incredible. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Yeah, not a problem. All my relations.
All my relations.
That was Robert Chippaway and Sandy Lambert from Dudes Club. For more information on Dudes Club, please visit the links provided in this episode's description. Moving now on to some sounds captured from the Truth and Reconciliation Day ceremony that took place on September 30th in Vancouver at Grandview Park. Once again, I'm John Z, and you've been listening to The Pulse on CFRO Co-op Radio.
Alcohol to get through their day, and I would like to honor them just being here,
put your hands up if you know who Mighty Mouse was. Put your hands up. Oh, you guys are old. Right on. So for the kids, Mighty Mouse was a cartoon when we were kids, and he was our Superman. And so we love to watch this cartoon.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.